Today's shir is Masechet Bava Basra Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. The bottom line: Hai Chavas Hechidami, which we discussed at the end of the shir yesterday, that the halacha is that if there's a kazayis minames, if there's a kazayis of a corpse in a house, so that whole house becomes tamei tumas oil. If there's an open window between that house and another house, the tumah travels from one house to the next if the window is at least the size of a tefach by a tefach. But as we discussed and as we learned, the Gemara, quoting Brises, says that if there's an object put into that window that's going to be left there permanently, and we'll discuss what permanently means soon, it reduces that opening of a tefach al tefach, that the tumah should not travel. And the Brice that we quoted at the end of the shir discussed a barrel that had in it straw, that had in it grigorous dried figs, and discussed if and how that would reduce the area of the opening of the window. Asked the Gemara, Hai Chavas Hechidami. Exactly, when we speak about this barrel, how is this barrel situated? The pumalabar, if the opening of the barrel is not facing the house where the kazayas of the mace is, he gufateichitz, then it itself should act as a chatzitza, da kli cheres. Most barrels in those times were made out of earthenware, and the halacha is a kli cheres enematam v'gaboy. Does the outside of a klicheres. A klicheres cannot become tamei by somebody touching the outside of the klicheres. The tumah has to enter the interior of the klicheres. Here, the klicheres, so therefore the klicheres should serve as itself as a method of blocking the tumah, or better said, reducing the area of the opening of the window. So the Rishonim, Taisus, other Rishonim, asked the obvious question. A very important part of the sugya that we started learning yesterday, we're going to spend a lot more time in today's shir discussing, is that for something to be considered an object that can reduce the area of the opening of the window, it has to be an object that's going to remain there permanently. So why doesn't the Gemara say that the barrel is not something that I'm going to leave there permanently? And therefore, if it's not going to be left there permanently, it can't reduce the opening. So some Rishonim say the obvious, easy teretz, that we're talking about a barrel that there is an intention to leave there permanently. That's one teretz. But Taisus says a very bechiddush. Taisus says, when is there an issue if the object that's being put into the opening is able to reduce the opening because it's going to be left there permanently? Versus, since it's not going to be left there, it can't reduce the opening, is only in a situation, says Taisus, where it doesn't completely close the entire opening. But in a situation where it completely closes up the opening, there it doesn't make a difference what the object is. Even if it's something that's makabel tumah, even if it's not going to be left there, it is going to be left there, makes no difference. That closes up the window. That closes up the opening. And Rav Chaim Brisker says a beautiful explanation and understanding Taisus. He says as follows. He says, when the window is not completely closed, so there is an opportunity for the tumah to travel from one house to the next. So the halacha has to start playing a role. When can it, can't it, does it, doesn't it? But if the entire opening is closed, I don't need to rely on halacha. I don't need to rely on lamdas. There is no opening between the two houses, period. And since there's no opening between the two houses, there is no physical way for the tumah to travel from one house to the next. Then the Mefarshim ask another question. Our Gemara says that the klicheres should serve itself as a method of blocking the tumah, because the outside of the kli cheres never becomes tamei. It's only the interior that becomes tamei. As the Mefarshim,
Yes, as I said before, a kli cheres cannot be mekabel tuma only if the tuma goes into the interior of the kli cheres. But once the kli cheres becomes tame, it's not only the interior that's tame, it's the exterior that also becomes tame. So why is the Gemara saying that the exterior of a kli cheres is something that doesn't become tame? It does become tame. If the interior becomes tame, the exterior becomes tame. So my first answer, it's not that the exterior becomes tame. It's that we have a tame de gekeli. And a tame de gekeli means that the entire keli is tame. But not that the exterior has any independent existence by kli cheres as far as tame is concerned. So the Gemara's question, again, to repeat, is if the opening of the kli cheres is facing not the house where the tumah is, then the kli cheres itself should serve as a barrier. Ella will have to say that it's referring to the situation, the puma legav. The opening of the kli cheres is towards the house where the tumah is, and therefore there is an opportunity for the kli cheres, for the tumah to enter the kli cheres. So that can't serve as the barrier for the tumah to go from one house to the next. It's only the different materials that are in that kli cheres that we discussed, the kash, the straw, or the figs. Dibrei Seima, another way of understanding the braisa, says the Gemara Oil on the Pumla Bar. The kli cheres is facing, the opening is facing the other house. So we go back to our question. So then shouldn't the kli itself serve as the barrier of closing up the entire window? Answers the Gemara, unlike earthenware, which I said earlier, is only mekabel tuma, only becomes tame from its interior, matchis becomes tame from the exterior. So if you have the kli matchis facing the, even if it's the back of it, facing the house where there is tame, where there is tuma, that kli matchis becomes tame, and therefore it will spread the tuma. It would spread the tuma into the next house. The only thing that will reduce the opening is the items, the material in the barrel. But now, as Taisvis, there's a halacha. Cherev harek chol. One of the halachas of tuma is the metal always becomes an avi avos tuma. That means if you have a metal keli in the same house as a mace, so that metal keli becomes entirely tummy. And it's an avi avos tuma. So ask Taisvis, why doesn't this keli matchis, which is in the window between the house that's tummy and the other house, between the house that has the mace and the other house, become an avi avos tuma? And that avi avos tuma should spread the tuma into the next house. So one teretz says that it's exactly flush, not protruding into the house. That's one teretz the Rishonim suggest. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that this keli matchis is completely coated with the figs that are in it. And the only time matchis becomes tamei to that degree is when the matchis is not coated with another material. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. It says in the Braisa, Asovim shatol shel v'nichem b'chaloyim. If there's grass that's on this window between the two houses, and machlokes v'shoinim, if it has to be firm, placed on the window, or just being there is enough. Or they just grew by themselves. Grass sometimes grows out of stone. Or matlonius, pieces of material, shem ben sholosh or sholosh, that are not three etzpos by three etzpos. Ve'aver, a limb, ve'abosser, or flesh, hamduldolim behema b'chai ba'if, that are hanging from an animal or a bird, sheshachin b'chaloyim, that are resting on the window, va'ayve kechavim, or a guy, shiyasha b'chaloyim, that's sitting on the window. And as Taisus explains, even though we know that Chazal said that all ayve kechavim have the status of zavim as far as hilchos tumah and tahara are concerned, however, says Taisus, that is only a dimid rabbanon, and therefore they're not in the category of something that's tumah that we've learned already in the previous year, that something which in itself could be mekabel tumah can't serve as a barrier. Since their entire tumah is madrabanan, they're not really considered something that's tameh. Or ben shmoina, a baby that was born to its eighth month, as we've learned many times, in the times of the Gemara, a baby born to the eighth month cannot survive. Hamunach b'chaloyim, that's laying on the window. V'melech is salt, klicheris, earthenware, v'sefer Torah, or sefer Torah, kulam amatim b'chaloyim. All of these materials, and the Gemara is going to discuss each item individually, can serve, can reduce the opening of the window, that it should make it less than a tefach, to prevent the tumah from spreading from one home to the next. Aval ha-shelag, snow, v'abor is hail, v'aglid, v'akfar, different types of ice, v'mayim, water, kulam emamatim b'chaloyim. They, since they're not considered something permanent, steady, they aren't going to serve as a barrier. Before we go further, and the Gemara starts analyzing, as I said, each item mentioned, this Gemara actually I saw is used lahaloch lemaisa. Hopefully it won't come. But the Trumas Hadeshin discusses that what happens if snow, if it snows in Sukkos, and the snow is on top of Yischach, and the snow is Mekabel Tuma. And we know that anything that's Mekabel Tuma is possible for Schach. So will a layer of snow laying on top of your Schach disqualify your Sukkah? So the Trumas Hadeshin says, just like an Al-Gemara says that all of these items cannot be considered material that reduce the opening of a window. Why? Because they're not permanent. They're going to melt. The same thing, the snow, even if it's on top of your Sukkah, it's going to melt. And it's not something permanent, and therefore won't disqualify your Sukkah. So as I said, now we're going to discuss every item. Ask the Gemara, Vasovim, when we speak about grass, the grass is chazal bahemtoi, could be served to your animals. So how could it be considered something that's going to be left there permanently? You're going to take it to feed your animals. Says the Gemara, Bafrasta. It's talking about grass which is poisonous, which you're not going to let your animal eat. The next case is, Oish olam aleim, that it's grass that grew on the windowsill itself. Ask the Gemara, Kivin the Kashu, grass that's left on the windowsill is going to ruin the wall. So certainly, Shakalahu, he's going to remove that grass. And therefore, since he's going to remove that grass, why does it reduce the opening? It's not permanent there. Answers the Gemara, Amarava b'kaisel churba. It's the kaisel of a broken home that you don't care what happens to the wall. Rep Papa Amar, it's a good wall. It doesn't actually grow out of the windowsill. It grows on the ground and then hangs over the windowsill. That isn't damaging to the wall. Matlonius asked the Gemara, how come a piece of material is considered something that we're going to leave there permanently? Isn't that chazal l'kriyat levusha? Can't they use this piece of material for a patch? If somebody gets a coal in his garment, says the Gemara b'smichta, it's a thick piece of material that cannot be used for a patch. Ask the Gemara chazal umna, can't it be used for somebody who's bloodletting, that it can be used like to wipe off the area where the wound was made? Beriska, it's talking about a sackcloth. Nobody's going to use it because it's very coarse. Ask the Gemara if the piece of material that we're discussing is riska, sackcloth, what does the Brisa say that the shear is? Shein ben sholosh al sholosh, that it's not three etzpahs by three etzpahs, shein ben arba al arba mibayle, it should have said four tfachim by four tfachim, because that's the shear of Kabbalah's tumah by sackcloth. Answer the Gemara, it's not actually sackcloth. It has the same characteristics as sackcloth, that's very coarse, but it's not actually, it's a regular material, just thick and coarse, that there the shear is three etzpos by three etzpos, and risk. Furthermore, the Brisa said, these limbs or piece of flesh that are hanging from an animal. Ask the Gemara, Ark of Asla, if it's talking about a live animal, how can we say that that's considered permanent on the wall? Isn't the animal going to run away? Says the Gemara B'Kshura. The animal is tied down, so it's not running anywhere. Says the Gemara B'Shachala. Why are we not concerned that he's going to shech the animal to eat it? Says the Gemara B'Tmeya. It's a tamidig animal that nobody's going to shech. asked the Gemara, Masman Lelanachri, we can't eat it because it's not kosher, but maybe he's going to sell it to a guy who can eat it. Says the Gemara, Bekhusha. It's a weak, a very not good piece of meat that no guy is interested in buying. Asked the Gemara, Posik Shadal Klavim. But why are we not concerned that he's going to disconnect this piece that's hanging from the living animal to give it to the dog? Answers the Gemara, Kivin Ikat Tsar Bal Chaim, that involves Tsar Bal Chaim, like Ovid. But don't worry that somebody's going to do that. And there's a very, very fundamental machloikis Rishonim, how to understand this case. Tosfos asks, fine, nobody's going to just disconnect the limb to give to a dog. But maybe someone's going to give the entire animal to the dog. So Tosfos says that nobody is going to... This is an animal like a monkey, Tosfos says. Interesting way Tosfos explains the Gemara. It's talking about a monkey that is used for enjoyment, and nobody's just going to take their monkey, even if it has a wounded limb, and kill it to give to dogs when they can still play with it. That's Tosfos' terms. However, other Rishonim, and the Noda of Yehuda makes this observation, learn the Gemara very differently. They say, you're not allowed to kill an animal just to give it to a dog. That's what the Gemara means. Why? Because killing an animal really involves Tsar Bal Chaim. So when is Tsar Bal Chaim, when are you allowed to kill an animal? If a human is going, according to Jewish law, if a human is going to benefit from it, you shecht an animal so we could eat. Or you have other constructive purposes. But to shecht an animal without a constructive purpose, says the Rimigash and other Rishonim, is under the category of Tsar Bal Chaim. And actually, I saw Shaila Haloch Lamaisa based on this Gemara. The question was asked to Rabbi Yosef. There was a problem of cats, too many cats in Yerushalayim. And they were in the kitchens of the institutions. So the Misrata Briyut, the health ministry, wanted to send somebody to kill the cats. And Rabbi Yosef said, you're not allowed to kill the cats. Because you're not allowed to kill an animal where you don't have to kill the animal. So if there's a problem with cats, catch them and put them somewhere else. But don't just go kill them. Says the Gemara, the Gemara says, what about a bird, the next case, that is on the windowsill? Says the Gemara, why are we not concerned that parak for ozel, that the bird is going to fly away? Says the Gemara, b'kosher, it's tied down. Ask the Gemara, shachet lei, but you're going to shach the animal, the bird, to eat it, but tamei. It's talking about a tamei digger bird. Ask the Gemara, mazben lei lenachri, we can't eat it, but we could give, always sell it to a guy. Answers the Gemara, b'klinisa. And the Rishonim make the following point. In the previous Gemara, when the Gemara asked, Mazman Laila Nachri, the Gemara said, Bekhusha, it's a weak animal. What does that mean? So here the Gemara says, there's a type of bird called Klinisa. So Rishonim explained the Gemara this way. Every animal is somewhat edible to Goyim, even if it's not kosher. So we say that this is an animal that we don't have this, a Goy is not going to eat. How must we explain it? It's referring to Khusha, an animal that no Goy wants to eat. However, there are birds that are totally non-edible, even though they're not kosher, they're still non-edible even to Goyim, which is a much better way of explaining the Gemara than saying Khusha. So by an animal, the Gemara wasn't able to identify such an animal. However, by a bird, the Gemara was able to identify such a bird, and that's the bird we're referring to. Ask the Gemara, Yov Leili Yenuka, but somebody's going to give that bird to a child to play with. The animal could hurt the child. Ask the Gemara, well, didn't we just explain that we're referring to a klinisa? And a klinisa is not a bird that has long claws that will, like Masart, it doesn't scratch. Answers the Gemara, ain't klinisa. It's not talking about a bird that actually klinisa. There are other birds that are not edible, but also could scratch and no child would play with. So actually I saw that the Mefarshim asked, the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to give a grasshopper, a non-kosher grasshopper, a sheretz, to a child to play with. Because we're concerned that the child will eat the grasshopper. So the Mefarshim asks, so why doesn't the Gemara say the same teretz here? It's a tamadiga bird, it's a non-kosher bird, so I can't give it to a child to play with, because the child may come to eat it. So Mefarshim say there's a very fundamental difference between a grasshopper and a bird. A grasshoppers, again, not that appetizing, the grasshoppers were eaten raw. So since they were eaten raw, there's a concern that you're going to give the grasshopper to the child, he may chas v'shalom come to eat it, and it's non-kosher. A bird is not edible raw. So there's no concern that the child's going to cook that bird and eat it. And that's why the Gemara didn't have that teretz. The next case was, Ayv kacham shiyash b'chalayim. Ayv kacham that sat himself down on their window. Asked the Gemara, Koy vazel, but why are we not concerned that the guy is going to move away? Answers the Gemara, b'kofas. He's tied down. Asked the Gemara, Asachav risharalei. Why are we not concerned that his friend is going to open up the knot? Says the Gemara, b'mitzayra. The guy is a mitzayra, and nobody wants to touch him. Ask the Gemara, Os mitzayra chav risharalei. Yes, a regular person doesn't want to chas v'shalom catch tzaras. So he's going to stay away from this mitzayra. But another person who already is a mitzayra, he has nothing to worry about. Says the Gemara, Ela b'chavushi malchus. It's talking about a guy who's been sentenced to sit there by the government, so nobody's going to touch him because that's against the law. The Mefarshim, based on this teretz, and we'll see this again in Mitzvah Shem, say that from here we see that to be considered being there permanent doesn't mean that it has to be there forever. The guy is not going to be there forever, even if he was sentenced by the government. As long as he's going to be there for a short amount of time, but he must be there for that short amount of time, it's considered that it's permanent enough that it can reduce the opening of the window. Next case was, Oben Shmoyna Munuch B'chaloyim, this child that was born into 8 months, that's left there. Ask the Gemara, ask him imedayulei, which mother, even if she never had this child, is going to leave her child there? Answer the Gemara, it's talking about that this happened on Shabbos. The Tanya, as we learned the Masech to Shabbos, Ben Shmoyna, a child born in those times, to the 8th month, Harei Ke'evin, has the halachic status as an Evin, Vosel Tatlib Shabbos. He's Muksa, because he can't survive. So he's Muksa Machem Skufay. However, does say the Braisa, Avil Imay Soichalov, the mother is uncomfortable because milk is forming in her breast and it's causing a discomfort, and she could bend over or maniksam neisakana, express that milk into the child's mouth because of her discomfort, not because of the child. So that's why we don't have to worry that the child will be moved. Again, this seems to be a raya that permanent being there doesn't mean forever, because nobody's going to leave the child in the windowsill forever, even if it's not going to survive. Ask the Gemara Melech Hazilei. Salt. You could use the salt. Why is it considered that's going to be left there? Answer the Gemara Marisa. It's bitter salt that you can't use. Ask the Gemara Chazil Iris. It could be used in the tanning process. Answer the Gemara Ispei Kaitzi. It has thorns in it, and such a salt will not be used for tanning. Ask the Gemara Kivin the Kashil Kaisel Shakla. If this salt has in it thorns, it certainly will damage the wall, so you're not going to leave it there. Answers the Gemara, the Yaspa Chaspa. It's sitting on a piece of shard of earthenware, and therefore it's not in direct contact with the wall that it should damage the wall. Ask the Gemara, Chaspa Gufa Teichetz, but why isn't there a problem that the earthenware itself should be the thing that reduces the size of the wall? The Les Beshuri. It's a very small piece of earthenware. Kritnan, as we find in the Halacha, in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos spends a lot of time discussing what is the minimum size of different materials that it should be considered significant that if you carry such a material on Shabbos, you mechal Shabbos. So it says, Chaspa k'dei litn be'patzim l'chaveray. They used to have such slats in the windows, and they used to have holes in the slats, and they used to put small pieces of earthenware between those slats. So that's the size of the earthenware. So Taisa says, he has a question. What is the Gemara bringing in Masechta Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos to this Gemara? So Taisa has a beautiful pshat in understanding the Gemara. He says like this, if our Gemara is saying that there's salt on the earthenware, so why should we say that that's considered that's going to be there permanently? You'll pick up the earthenware, and you'll carry the salt with it. and it won't be there. So why could it serve as a material that reduces the opening? Therefore, says Tosfos, that the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, that it's talking about such a small piece of earthenware that's totally useless. Since it's totally useless, you're going to leave it there because you have no use for it. And just like you're going to leave the earthenware there, you're going to leave the salt that's on it, and therefore it could serve as a material and reduces the opening. The next case was Kli Cheres, an earthenware. Ask the Gemara, Chazilei, you could use it. Answers the Gemara, the mitnef. It's dirty, has no use. Ask the Gemara, Chazilei Umna, can't the bloodletter use it to the blood that's coming out of the wound to catch that blood? Answers the Gemara, the mitnef, it has a hole in it. So it's not going to be much of a help. Sefer Torah, Chazal Mikra, can't you use it to read from? So you're not going to leave it there. Answer the Gemara, Baboli. It's already ruined. Ask the Gemara, Vaboy Gniza, it doesn't need to be buried. A Sefer Torah that's possible needs to be buried. Answer the Gemara, Shamte Gniza, you're going to leave it there. And again, here too the Mefarshim explain. The halach is that a Sefer Torah that becomes possible is supposed to be buried in a cemetery next to a Talmud Chacham. So when the Gemara says here, Sham Tehegen Isasai, the Gemara doesn't mean that's going to remain there forever. What the Gemara means is that you're going to leave it there for a short amount of time, but you're going to leave it there, and that's enough that it should reduce the opening. Says the Gemara, Amarath, the Kol Oisim Mechitza, all materials may be used to make a partition, wherever partition is required, Chutz V'melech V'Ruvav, except for salt and fat. Fat will melt, and salt is salt. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says Afil Melech. Amar Papa says a Papa V'loi Pligi. There's really no Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Haver Melech Stoimus. Shmuel says that salt can be used to make a Mechitza. It's talking about thick salt. Haver Melech Astrukimus. Thin salt cannot be. However, continues the Gemara, V'hash the Dama Rabba, Ois Adam Shnei Tziburi Melech. The Halach is a Movi. We learned Masech the Erevin. That if you have a Movi, you have this alleyway that many Chatzeris open into, you're not allowed to carry in that Movi. Unless you have Shtufim Mavos. What is Shtufim Mavos? Lechi Mikan, two posts from the sides, the Kairal Gabeim, and a beam on top of that, on top of them. And the Braisa, in discussing how a shtufa mevoros could be constructed, says Ois Adam Shnei Tziburi Melech, a person can make two piles of salt that they can be used as the two lechis, or Menei Malayim Kerah, and then you put a crossbeam on top of those two piles of salt, and that will be an adequate shtufa mevoros. Why? Shama Melech Memedes is a kaira, vaKaira Memedes is a Melech. The salt, even though it's thin, but since it has the beam on top of it, everything keeps its other in place. So we could say now, says the Gemara, Afil Melech Astrakonis. You can make a mechitza even out of this thin salt. But when did Shmuel say that a mechitza made out of Melech Astrakonis is considered a halachic mechitza? Hadika Kaira. If there's a cross beam on top of it, it's fine. Hadaleka Kaira, then it's not fine. We learned in the Mishnah, Mechikim Surchayim. We have to distance the mill, Gimel Meneshechev, three tfachim from the base of the mill, Shein Avim Menarechev, which are four tfachim from the actual mill, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, because of the base of the mill is a tefach wider than the actual mill. Ask the Gemara, why does the mill have to be distanced from the wall? My Tama, why does the mill have to be distanced from the wall? Answer the Mishum Triya, because the mill causes vibrations and that could damage the wall. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, we learned the Shel Chamor. They had like these small mills that the donkey made the mill move. There too, says the Braisa, the halacha is that that mill has to be distanced from the wall. Shloshim and Estrudel, three tfachim from the base of the mill. Shein Abim and Akelis, which is four tfachim from the actual mill. Ask the Gemara, Hossam my Tirya Ika, what kind of vibrations are caused by such a small mill? Elam Shem Kolam. And Zmachloikas Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara's Teretz. One Teretz, it's really Machloikas and Girsa in the Gemara, is the Girsa that our Gemara has. That it's not, by that type of mill, It's not the vibration that causes damage to the wall. It's the noise. The mill makes a lot of noise, and the noise makes damage to the wall, and noise you even have from this donkey-driven mill. That's the one girsa. There's another girsa that takes out the word ella, and just has the word mishum kala, which says that the noise causes vibration. And what the Gemara is saying is, you thought there are no vibrations by a donkey-driven mill. Says the Gemara, yes, mishum kala, there is noise by a donkey-driven, there is vibration by donkey-driven mill, and therefore it has the same halacha that you have to distance it by 3 tefachim. We continue learning the Mishnah, the Sataner, the furnace has to be distanced from the wall, Shloshim and Akalia, 3 tefachim from the base of the Tanner, Shin Arba Minasof. Again, Rashi's pshat, that there's a base on the bottom which is wider than the top, as the Gemara says, Omer Baya, Shema Minah, Kalia the Tanner, the base of the Tanner is Tefach, is a tefach wider than the actual Tana. Why must I know? Answers the Gemara, Nafkamina, Mekka Chememka, that if I contract with you that I'm buying a Tanner, you have to provide me with a Tanner that has a base, a tefach wider than the actual Tanner. And if you don't, I could claim it's a Mekka Toss. Interesting, Tysus says, how things are obvious in one time, they're no longer so obvious. Ask Tysus, so why doesn't the Gemara say the same point in the previous Gemara, that we need to know that the base of the mill is always a tefach wider than the actual mill? We don't find that the Gemara should say it, even though that's the reality. Answers Tosfos, everybody knew that the base of a mill is a tefach wider than the actual mill. So the Gemara didn't have to report it. This was something not known to everybody. I don't think we know either then nowadays. Says the Mishnah, Lo yamid other tana b'teich bayis, a person is not allowed to put a furnace in his home, unless he has a distance of arba amos between the tanner and the ceiling. If you put it on the upper story of a house, you have to have below it a ceiling that's 3 tefachim thick, a proper flooring under it, or bekira tefach. By Kira, which is a smaller oven, you only have to have a ceiling, a floor under it, which is a tefach thick. So Rishonim ask that the Mishnah doesn't teach us what is the halacha, how much distance you have to have between the top of the Kira and the ceiling. By a Tanner, the Mishnah told us that you have to have a 4 amos separation between the top of the Tanner and your ceiling. What about by a Kira? The Mishnah doesn't say it did. So I saw 2 turutzim in the Rishonim. One teretz in the Rishonim is that it always works proportionally. Just like we see that this floor under a tanner is 3 times the thickness over the floor under a kira, similarly, the distance between the top of the tanner is 3 times as much as the distance between the top of the kira and the ceiling. So if here it's 4 amos, there would be 1 1/3 amos. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that a kira doesn't really have to have any distance between the top of the kira and the ceiling. Because besides the simple difference between a tanner and a kira, with a tanner being much bigger than a kira, much more heat, there's another fundamental difference. A tanner, the fire is on top. So since the fire is coming out from the top, you need to have a separation between the top of the tanner and the ceiling. A kira is open from the side, and therefore there's no minimal separation needed from the top of the kira and the ceiling. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say you follow the regulations, but chas v'shalom there's still a fire. V'm hezek mishal mishal hezek. You still have to pay what damage you did. However, say the Rishonim. So let's say a person's going to say, according to the opinion of Tanna Kamma, that I'm going to be responsible anyway if there's damage. So I won't follow the regulations, and if there's damage, I'll pay chas v'shalom. If there's chas v'shalom damage, I'll pay. One may not say that, say the Rishonim. Because nobody wants to be damaged. Even if they're going to get back the insurance money, or even if they're going to get back the money from the person that causes them damage, nobody wants to have a fire, the inconvenience, the problems that come with it, and therefore you can't take the approach, I won't follow the regulation, and if it does hezek, I'll pay. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. On the contrary, that if you follow the rules and suddenly Chas V'Shalom happens, you're a Shaygig and you're Potter. And I saw in the Mefarshim two ways of understanding Rav Shimon's opinion. One way is simple, that if you follow the regulations, as I said, you're considered a Shaygig. You did what you were supposed to do. If still Chas V'Shalom, something happened, you can't be held responsible. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that you're still considered a Mazik. But Beis Din, with their authority of Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, have the ability of saying that even though you're a Mazik, you're Potter. And this is going to be such a circumstance. Since you follow the rules, Beis Din exempts you from paying. Continues the Mishnah. Lo yiftach Adam, chanush shel nachtoyim v'shel tzavoyim. A person should not open up a store, a bakery, or a dye shop, where there's a lot of fire burning, under the warehouse, the grain warehouse of somebody else, because the fire ruins the grain. Similarly, he shouldn't open up a barn. However, with wine, there is no problem with a bakery or a dye shop under the wine, Avaloi Refus Bakr. A barn under wine is a problem. And I saw a fascinating discussion in the Shem Tzion Balacha. We all know, very common halachic discussion, about Yayin Mevushal. The wine that's cooked, the wine that's exposed to fire, is considered inferior. And therefore, there's no problem of Stam Yenom on Yayin Mevushal. Here, our Mishnah is saying, the fire doesn't adversely affect wine. And that's why you could have a bakery under a wine store. You could have a dye shop that has a fire burning all the time under a wine shop. Ask the Shem Tzion Balacha, if cooking diminishes the quality of the wine, why does the Mishnah say that there's no problem by wine? So one pshat that he suggests is that the Mishnah is not concerned about the heat. The Mishnah is concerned about the smoke. And smoke, the Mishnah is telling us, doesn't adversely affect wine. Another pshat that he says is very bechiddush. He says that yayin mevushal is not necessarily qualitatively inferior to non-mevushal. Rather, he says, what is the issue of yayin mevushal? He says the issue of yayin mevushal is that when you cook wine, because it boils, you lose some of the wine. And that's why the din of stam yayin doesn't apply to yayin mevushal. So there are two halacha lemaises that are based on this discussion. He says, if that's the case, that qualitatively there is nothing wrong with Yayin Mevushal, he says, l'chatchila, you could use Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush. There are people that don't want to use Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush. But he's saying, if now we're explaining that qualitatively the wine doesn't get ruined, you could use l'chatchila. But the other problem is that if, according to this explanation, what is the concept of Bishal, that it diminishes the wine? So we rely for Yayin Mevushal on flash pasteurization. In flash pasteurization, since it goes so quickly, there is no diminishing of the quantity of wine when you mevushal it. So it may not be considered mevushal. If the whole point of mevushal is that you diminish the quantity, you're not diminishing any quantity. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Baba, Vatana Abba, or Bekira Shloisha, that by Tanu you need to have four, and by Kiri you have to have three. How does our Mishnah say a smaller shiur? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Ki Tanya Hin. That's referring to the Nachtumim, a baker's oven. A baker's oven, which is constantly on, or a baker's kir, which is constantly on, needs more of a support. The Tanu the Don, Ki Kir the Nachtumim. Our Tanner has the same status of the kir used by a baker. We learned in the Mishnah, Le'yiftach, Chanus, you're not allowed to open the store, you're not allowed to open up the store, bakery, dye shop, under somebody's oitzer. Tana, imhaya refes kademis l'oitzer. If you had a barn, and then somebody chose to put a warehouse on top of your barn, it's mutter. Baya baya, so ask them by the following question. Keep it v'ribitz l'oitzer. You started preparing that place for a warehouse, but it wasn't actually yet used as a warehouse. Mahu. Or if you made a lot of windows. So you're showing again that you intend to use that area as a warehouse. You have between the bakery and the warehouse such an open area where the air could circulate. Or let's say you put a roof on top of your house. If you have ever built an upper story, which is quite obvious that they used to use those attics for a warehouse, what is the halacha? Teiku. The Gemara remains with a question. Another question. Tamri v'Ramoni. We said that the bakery, the dye shop under the warehouse room is detrimental and should not be put there. What happens if it's the warehouse not for grain? It's a warehouse for dates, for pomegranates. Will it also adversely affect it? Teiku. We learned in the Mishnah of Emes B'Yayin Hitiru. Tana B'Yayin Hitiru. Why are you allowed to have these things under wine? Neshem Mishbichai. Because actually they make the wine better. The smoke is positive for the wine. V'loy Refes Bakar. But the animal barn, Neshem Mishricha. Amar Rav Yosef. Haydi Don. Our wine. I feel Kutru D'Shagun Nami Kashalei. Says the Amar Rav Sheshet V'Aspasta. This was this animal feed. And should not be put under a place where you have wine. Says the Mishnah, Chanusha b'chotzer, if you have a store in your chotzer, yochel limchus b'yadai, your neighbors could tell you, v'loimeloi, and tell you any yochelishon, mikol ha'nechnosim, mikol ha'yoytzim. Your constant traffic is bothering me. So the Mepharshim, the Rishonim ask, what does the Mishnah say, if you have a store in your chotzer, your neighbors can complain? What does the Mishnah say? Lo yichta chanus b'chotzer. Don't open up a store in your chotzer. So Mepharshim say the reason the Mishnah uses this language is to tell us a very big chiddush. Let's say I want to open up a store in my chotzer. And I'm a decent individual. I go ask all my neighbors for permission. And they give me permission. And then after I open my store, my neighbor said, no, we can't, this is bothering us too much. Even though I opened up the heter, even though I opened up with permission, they could complain later on. And some say, some Rishonim suggest, that even if I had the store there for 3 years, so I already even have a chazaka to have the store there, my neighbors could come and say, originally it didn't bother us, but now it's troubling us, and you have to close it. Aval Oysa, Kalim. You can make in your chotzer different pieces of equipment. And then Yoitzer, Marich B'Tai Chashuk, I could take those things that I make you can't tell me, my neighbors can't tell me, your banging here is bothering me. We'll explain that more in the Gemara Mitzvah. And as the Rishonim explained, the Mishnah, if I do something in my own property, even if it causes, even if it bothers my neighbor, but it doesn't involve other people walking into my chatzar, then the halach is that I could, then the halach is I can do it. On the other hand, if I do something in my chatzar, which may be less noisy and less troublesome, but it involves bringing outside people into my chatzar, that my neighbors could protest and stop me from doing it.